All right. Thank you so much. Good to see you all this morning here in the house of the Lord together. I have good news and bad news. The good news is Pastor Jorge will be preaching again. The bad news is you got to listen to me today. So sorry about that. Carla said earlier, Alan, I'm praying for you. I said, Carla, you better pray for the people. They're the ones that have to listen. So anyway, we're glad you're here. Well, how many of you, I'm going to ask you to reveal something very personal and potentially embarrassing today. How many of you have already put up Christmas decorations in your house? Is there anybody? Oh, I see a few people confessing. Here's an even more embarrassing question. How many of you love all those Christmas movies that come out around this time of year and are on all the streaming services? Any people love those Christmas movies? I can't tell if you're just hiding the embarrassment of it or if it's true. You like them, Carla? Oh, somebody over here likes them. Sorry, I can't see that. That light's kind of in my eyes there. Well, a lot of people love those Christmas movies. And this morning, as I was thinking about that, I went online and I found tweets that people had made on Twitter about Christmas movies. Here's a few of them. She was new in town and didn't have any friends until she decided to trust a handsome stranger. Now, was that a Hallmark Christmas movie or a true crime podcast? Number two tweet. Does every Hallmark Christmas movie have the same plot? Yes. Am I still going to watch them and act surprised when Susan falls in love with the small-town baker who only wears sweaters instead of falling for the big city CEO? Yes, the person tweeted. Next tweet says, me, crying, it's just so beautiful. Husband, crying, it's just so terrible. Tweet number four, House Hunters and a Hallmark Christmas movie. The only two places where a reindeer groomer is independently wealthy and can buy a $1 million house. Tweet number five, lady in a Hallmark movie just said, sorry, I'm late. The stars are breathtaking tonight. And everyone was fine with it. No one blinked an eye. Those are two separate thoughts. You did not arrive late because you were just looking up. I can't arrive late and say, sorry, I'm late. There are birds. Which I thought was kind of funny. The plot of every Hallmark movie is about a career woman who is too busy for love, but she has to move on to a small town where a handsome local bachelor teaches her about the true spirit of the holiday. It always starts snowing and they kiss. And there's also always a dog. Those are a few tweets. Have you seen any of those movies? Anybody know what we're talking about? I'm beginning to wonder if any of you have seen any of these Hallmark movies, because some of you are like, what is he talking about? Well, they always have this moment where two people meet, and they come together, and, you know, in true Hollywood fashion, they live happily ever after overcoming some obstacles. It's a great story. But, you know, what I want to talk to you about a little bit today is something, I guess, similar to that, but not exactly. There we go. We've been talking about sharing the gospel, and today I want to talk about divine appointments. What is a divine appointment, you may be wondering? Well, just like in those Christmas movies, these people have this meeting that seems almost destined to be, right? It almost seems like it had to happen. It was one of those necessary things. I wonder for you, as you think about your own life, have you ever had a moment where there's somebody in your life that you look back on, whether it's a spouse, a friend, a coworker, that you think, wow, it was almost like I just had to meet that person. It's almost like that was like a gift given to me, meeting that person. Yes? No? Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you all still awake? Okay, good, good. Okay, we're not asleep yet, so that's good. I think we all have that. But I want to talk to you this morning about the fact that I believe God has some divine appointments for you. And I believe that it's about a lot more than just meeting someone for the sake of building a connection. I believe God is literally bringing people into your life for the purpose of doing what we've been talking about for 6 weeks now, or 7 weeks now, which is sharing the gospel. Pastor Jorge talked to you about, you know, different approaches, sharing your story, apologetics, some of these different approaches that we've been looking at with sharing the gospel. But I believe God has definitely called you into some divine appointments. Now, before I lose you and you begin to say, oh, but Alan, I'm not like you, because I know what you're thinking. because y'all know me, I talk to everybody. Sometimes I talk to trees, sometimes cars. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. But I did apologize to a loaf of bread once. I knocked it off a shelf, and before I knew it, I said, "Oh, excuse me," as the thing fell to the floor. I was in the grocery store. I felt a little embarrassed in that moment, but I did. I apologized. But you know, some of you might be thinking, "Oh, that's not my personality. I'm not the kind of person who talks to strangers." I'm not telling you that you need to go out of here today and every single human being you see, you need to chase them down and be like, "I've got good news for you." If you do that, they're going to run, and probably rightly so. But there are some people that God is going to bring into your life, and it's going to be a divine appointment. What is a divine appointment? I believe it's when God brings a very specific person into your life for the purpose of sharing the good news of the gospel. And he's often going to do it because you have been uniquely gifted to share with that person. God has created in you and woven in your story an opportunity that's going to help you make that connection, whereas someone else cannot. Hopefully you know that. The pastor cannot reach everybody. The associate pastors cannot reach everybody. The worship team cannot reach everybody. The Sunday school class cannot reach everybody. Fill in the blank. But there are people that God has ordained in his providence and in his sovereignty that we are going to... And in that process of encountering them, our mission is to share the good news of the gospel with them. I want us to look at a scripture here today, and we're going to read through it, and then we're going to come back. It comes from the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we have Paul. He's been on these missionary journeys with some others. Now he's in Athens all by himself. Well, not all by himself. The rest of people live in Athens are there. But his traveling companions are not currently with him. And I want us to read through this story today, and then I want us to come back and talk about these divine appointments of sharing the gospel. So let's look at the scripture together. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange ideas to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown." Sorry, I think we've got things moving here. I'm not moving them. Let's see if we can go back here. Sorry, you guys. Ralph, are you doing that or is that me? You're doing that, okay. Okay. I proclaim to you the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. As he has made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard of this resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' So Paul went out from their midst, But some men joined him and believed. Among them also were Dionysus the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with him. Well, divine appointments. We have Paul in Athens there, and Paul had some divine appointments in that story. I hope you picked up on that as we read it, that God had ordained some opportunities for him. One of the first things that caught my eye when I read this passage was what happened to Paul. He's in Athens, and he's looking around, and it says something provoked him. Now, when I say the word provoke, probably most of you have this idea that comes into your mind of, oh, that's a bad thing. But provoking is not always a bad thing, right? Because if something is thought-provoking, it means that it causes you to think. It causes you to consider it more deeply. And I think the first thing that I noticed in this passage is that Paul sees the city differently than perhaps other people are seeing the city. It says the Holy Spirit provoked him as he saw those idols. Wouldn't it be great this morning for our divine appointments if we would allow the Holy Spirit to let us see our city differently, to let us see people differently, to let us not look at them and make a quick judgment based on what we think, but rather to ask the Holy Spirit to let us see things the way he wants us to see them. In that passage, it says, now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. You know, we have a choice. We can either sit around in our city, whether that be Concord or Lafayette, or whether it be San Francisco or wherever you are. You can either sit around and be angry that there are idols, angry that there are ways of thinking, angry that there are things that are challenging to you, or you can let the Holy Spirit provoke you to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. To look at these people and say, wow, God, you have provoked me to be a voice to share the good news of freedom and hope. Do you realize sometimes Christians forget that the good news is good news? Because we can get in this place of kind of like, oh, we got it and they didn't and how dare they? But what if the Holy Spirit wants to say something different to you today? What if the Holy Spirit wants to say, remember what I did for you? Remember how I changed you? Remember how life used to be and now I've done a new thing in you? What if God wants you to begin to look at people and to see them as what they can be rather than what they are right now? What if the Holy Spirit wants to provoke you to have a divine appointment with somebody that you don't even know? I just hope you'll think about that. We need the Holy Spirit to make us aware of our surroundings. We need him to show us the idols that are in our own lives as well as the cities that we live in and the places we work and the schools that we go to. We need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to people's real need. That it's not about just sizing them up and making judgment calls about them, but to really open our heart to realize that there's a deeper need there. The need is the gospel. The need is not an election win. The need is not a new strategy. The need is not, let's organize a system. The need is the gospel. The good news of the gospel changes lives. Amen? Are you with me? The good news is what changes things. And so I'm not saying God can't use all those other things, because he can. He can use anything. But I'm saying let's open our eyes and ask the Holy Spirit to show us people's real need. Let's be driven by the Holy Spirit rather than by our emotions. We're emotional beings, right? We are. Some of you, even today, have gone through some emotions, right, in this place. Many things can trigger emotions within us. But one of the things we have to do as we mature in our walk with God is to be able to discern the difference in those two things. What is me just feeling emotion, and what is the Holy Spirit speaking to me? Because our emotions sometimes are right and sometimes they're wrong. But the Holy Spirit is never wrong. He's always right as he directs us. Part of that is growing and maturing. This is not a sermon on how to hear from the Holy Spirit. Maybe Jorge will preach that one later and share with us later. But I want to just remind you that we can't let our emotions just cause us to react. When you walk into a place that's full of idols, whether they be physical or a metaphor for something else, this is not necessarily the time for you to be like, time to take down the idols. Maybe it's time for you to bring the good news that will change the heart of the person of the idol, and then they will release the idol unto the Lord. Amen? So it's not an emotional reaction of, I can't believe our city does this. I can't believe my neighbors do this. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Instead, maybe it's, Lord, let me see through your eyes and let me share the good news of those divine appointments that you have for me. The second thing I noticed is in that scripture in verse 17, it said that Paul was going to the synagogues. He was going to the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Who happened to be there. You do this every day, folks. Did anybody go to the grocery store this week? There happened to be people there, right? You went to work this week. There happened to be people there. Some of you stood in lines. I tell you, that we can stand in a lot of lines in this city for sure. You might have been in just your neighborhood. You might have been in just walking around the park, whatever. There's people all around us. And sometimes those people that are around us are there because God has placed them there for our interaction, for that intersection of opportunity. You know, in the Great Commission, Jesus said, go ye into all the world. But when you break that down and you translate it carefully, it says, as you are going in all the world. A lot of us think if we're going to do missions or we're going to do gospel sharing, we got to have this moment where we get on a plane and we go somewhere, and that's good. I do that a lot. But you know, the reality is, as we are going, did you know that your next vacation could be a mission trip? As you are going to the beach, God is going to place people in your path that are divine appointments. As you are going to work tomorrow, God's going to have people there that are divine appointments for you. They've been placed there by Him for you to interact with. Are you going? You are. The question will be, will you open your eyes to see the people around you? I think there's three words that come to my mind in that process: prayer, proximity, and presence. Prayer. I want to encourage you when you start your day, every day, maybe make this part of your process. When you pray to the Lord that morning, just open your hands and heart and say, Lord, I'm going to interact with a lot of people today. Show me who you want me to share with. Show me who you want me to pay attention to. Because here's the reality. You can't with everybody. There might be 100 people that you meet today. You can't spend an hour with all 100 of them. But there may be one in that 100 that God has for you, a divine appointment. And so part of that, again, is discerning from the Holy Spirit. But start with prayer and ask God to give you that. Say, Lord, show me. Reveal to me who I need to spend time with and on. And also, Lord, let me release who I don't need to, because you have somebody else that is their divine appointment. And ask the Holy Spirit to show you that. Proximity. Proximity. Who are the people that are around you? Some of them have been around you all along, and you might need to just open your eyes to realize they're there. Some of them may be just in a moment in proximity to you, in the grocery store, on a plane, wherever you may be. And then, of course, the last one is presence. Sometimes you need to remember that everywhere you go, the presence of God is going with you, because the Holy Spirit lives within you. So when you begin to speak, let the Holy Spirit speak words of life out of your mouth. When you begin to listen to people that need to talk, let the Holy Spirit let you be that listener that is ready to bring hope, not to bring despair, not just to get into gossip and stories. Listen, it's not important that you know every detail. You need to just be important with the heart of, let me tell you what Jesus can do. Let me share the good news of that. That's divine appointment. One thing I notice also in verse 22, Paul engages the culture. He noticed, and he said even in verse 22, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. He begins to notice things around him. And later on, he even quotes their own poets. He says, well, some of your own poets have said this. He doesn't withdraw from culture. He doesn't say, oh, culture's bad. I'm not going to talk about their poems. I'm not going to listen to their music. I'm not going to talk about any of that. No, he doesn't do that. He says, okay, if this is what you think, if this is your worldview, can we talk about it? Can we ask some questions about it? Some of the best thing you can do is stop trying to tell people and start listening and asking questions. Because it's not me declaring something and then someone goes, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. Instead, it's about them processing, the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And I think Pastor Jorge's term is Holy Spirit-led critical thinking. I think that's the term I've heard him use before. That idea of we ask the questions and we listen. When we engage people with the culture, we have to do it respectfully. We have to do it with kindness. And we have to ask those questions appropriately. Did you know that some questions are really not appropriate? At that time, it's really not always a good idea to go up to someone and ask something very personal in a public gathering or in a situation where this is an example. Let's say, Carla, can I put you on the spot? Carla says some, oh, Alan, pray for me or whatever. And then I go, oh, guys, listen, I was talking to Carla. We don't want to do that because that's Carla's story, Carla's stuff. So when you are in these divine appointment moments, recognize that you're there to listen. You're there to love. You're there to be respectful and engage the culture in a very careful way as led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes if we're not careful, we get caught up in the drama, don't we? We do. And some of us love drama. I mean, can I be honest? I like it. That's why I watch movies, because they're dramatic. And there's a story, right? And we can get caught up in the story. And if we're not careful, we will be seeing our divine appointment as divine entertainment rather than divine ministry that God has put in front of us. Nobody's there to entertain us. The people that God brings into our lives, they're not there for you or for me. They are there because God Almighty loves them so much that he sent one of his children to take the good news of the gospel to them, to take hope to them, to be a person who says to them, hey, here is what God can do for you and in you. So as you're sharing, I want to ask you to do that. I also want to ask you to use questions that allow people to think without questions coming across as condemning. And that may take some thought and some practice. So when someone says to me something, how do I, even if I strongly disagree, how do I ask it in a way that will allow them to articulate what they're thinking so that I can get a little bit of insight in understanding what they're thinking, and also so that when I share Jesus, I can share the gospel in a way that can be received? I don't want to name the place, but I was in a place one time where I was on an escalator, and I was going up the escalator, and I could see this man at the top before I got there. He was kind of a street preacher, and he was out there, and he had a big sign, and he had tracts that he was giving out. And when I was getting closer, I could see him speaking in the language of that country to the people, and I'm like thinking, oh, okay, maybe he doesn't speak English. I'm not going to get that experience. I was wrong, because as I got closer, he saw me, and he locked in on me, and this is what he began to do. Believe Jesus! Believe Jesus! Believe Jesus! That's all he would say, those two words. And he was like screaming it and waving his track at me. And I'm thinking, well, number one, I do believe Jesus. But number two, if I didn't, I'm not so sure I'd want to believe in him right now, because you're yelling and screaming at me. And you think you're doing a good thing, but in reality, you're not communicating anything to me in terms of love and care and support. This week, I didn't plan to say this, but I'm going to tell you something this week. This week, somebody contacted me about an online Bible study, and it was I was like, oh, okay. So then this person messaged me about 14 times, and every message was, well, do you want to join our Bible study? And I said, oh, well, you know, I'm not really ready for that right now, and I thought that would be the end. And then it was like, okay, I understand what you're saying, but these things are so good. You should join our online Bible study. And I'm like, okay. Thank you so much for the invitation, but really this is not a good time for that because, you know, I'm involved in a lot of stuff. And the person's like, but we're going to be studying this. And they just kept on and on. And you know what happened? The more they said it, the more I had my heart kind of making this wall around it that was like, I would never come to your Bible study because I've told you 13 times that I cannot come. And in those 14 times, I want to tell you how many times did that person say to me, how are you? Zero. In those 14 times, that person never said, is there anything you'd like me to pray for you? In those 14 times, that person never said, you know, is there anything I can do to be a blessing to you? None of that. It was the whole 14, I promise you, every single message was, but this is good. You need to come to this. And the more they pushed, the more I resisted. That old like thing rose up in me, and I'm like, man, even if it is good, I don't think I could enjoy it now because you have pushed me so far in the other direction. We are not about gathering people. We're about sharing Jesus, who changes people, and then he gathers them into groups, right? We have a wonderful Wednesday night Bible study. Sometimes I'm able to join it, but not often. I don't join it often, to be honest with you. But that group, God's doing special stuff in that group. You've heard about it here in this platform. A few weeks ago, you know, some of you are involved in other things, other opportunities like that. Please don't fall on that divine appointment by substituting an event for the good news of Jesus, the good news of hope that communicates love and care for people. Well, we've talked about these divine appointments. I want to talk about how do you know who you're supposed to share with. I'm going to share a little bit of that with you. How do you know? Now, my answer is going to frustrate some of you, and I know that, because the answer is true, but it's frustrating because we love a 100% clear path, right? We love the steps. Number one, you do this. Number two, you do that. Number three, if they say this, you do that. No, but that's not how it works. Walking with God is a relationship. Having the Holy Spirit guide you in your divine appointments is born out of a relationship with Him. So there is no 1, 2, 3, now you know who to share with. But I can give you a few things that I think will help you in this process of as you are going with the gospel. The first one being what I've already said, prayer. Prayer before you go, prayer as you are going, prayer while you're there, prayer after you go, prayer when you get back home. Scripture says pray without ceasing. Now, I don't mean that in the middle of the street you need to drop down and be like, Jesus, I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm talking about. If you feel led and God says do it, then do it. But I'm not saying you need to make a spectacle. What I'm saying is that you need to have an attitude of prayer all day long. Sometimes I'm in a place, and I do. I'll pray in my heart. Like if I'm in an Uber, let's say, and I'm riding with somebody, and the driver's talkative, I'll say, okay, Lord, show me what to do. Show me what to share. Give me wisdom. Give me some kind of leading here that I know what to do. In addition to that, we got to learn to listen. What are the things you're listening for? When you listen to people, because one thing that you all probably know is people love to talk, and sometimes they need to talk. And the difference is either you will be the kind of person who makes that okay, or you'll be the kind of person who shuts that down. So sometimes we got to stop talking and listen. When they begin to talk about things like their life hurts, listen. Let them share it. You might be the first person that has responded with compassion to them. When they start to bring up spiritual topics, I always take that as a sign of like a flashing light. God is getting my attention here. So when they say something like, oh, when I was a kid, I went to church. I was in an Uber in South Haven, Mississippi, and the driver was taking me to a meeting that I had to go to. And the guy was just talking, and he said, you know, look at this. Now, he just started this. He said, look at this. We got a church right there. We got a church right here, and as we're going down the road, and look, here's a church here, and then they're going to build one over here, and they're going to build one over there. And I don't know why they keep building all these churches. And I said, oh, I said, that's so interesting, isn't it? Why do you think they keep doing that? And then I said to him, I said, do you think more churches is the answer? And if it's not the answer, what do you think is the answer? And God opened the door to be able to share with that man the good news of the gospel. He started it. He didn't do anything bad. He started it. He started the conversation. In that same trip when I was there, I was in a car with a gentleman who was from West Africa, and he'd been in the U.S. just about a year, and we began to talk, and he was sharing with me about his country. So I just started asking, oh, what's your country like, and what's it like here? And then I asked this question. I said, so what's it been like growing up in West Africa, and now you're living here in Mississippi? That seems really different. What's that like for you? And the man almost immediately started opening up and talking about the painful journey he's had of adjusting to living in a different culture. Now, some of us love to argue, don't we? I don't know where that comes. Maybe it's a personality thing, but some of us, that would kind of trigger us a little bit, right? So if someone said, well, it's really hard here in America, and I don't like some things, some of us would immediately open our bag, take out our American flag, begin to wave it in the back of the Uber, begin to, you know, say the Pledge of Allegiance, whatever you would do in that moment. But you know what? We don't have to respond in those kind of ways, because it's not about proving some point that you believe. A divine appointment is about you opening your heart and your mind to listen to people. Don't misunderstand what I just said. I'm grateful for our country. I love it, and I'm proud of it. but I'm a citizen of a kingdom that's bigger than that. And that is the kingdom of God. That is what I want to be about. And in that moment, what's most important is hearing that man's story and sharing the good news that there's a God who loves him and there is hope for him. I'm still in touch with that guy to this day. From one Uber ride, I'll hear from him occasionally. The other thing is to recognize, we pray, we listen, we recognize. Different people have different personality types and communication styles. Don't get offended so easily. Don't be ready to fight because someone says a word that you don't like or because they whatever. You look at that person through the eyes of Jesus and say, my goal as an ambassador for the kingdom is to let them know there's hope and there's healing and there's change that God wants to bring. That's the message. It's not about how they communicate it. And if we will get beyond that, you'll be amazed at what God can do. If we can quit trying to fight every battle and instead listen and love and recognize different people have different personality types, different people have different communication styles, and they don't all have to match yours. God can still use you in spite of that other person having a different style. See who they can be. Look beyond who they are. And then lastly, discern. Discern what the Holy Spirit wants you to do in that moment. If someone is very vocally speaking and saying to you, I'm not interested in this religion stuff, I don't want to talk about it, I'm not interested in it, stop. Don't feel like you got to win everybody in a single moment. When I think about the work of God in people's lives, I imagine it being like a chain link fence or a chain link, just a chain. So we have over here before they know Christ, and then we have all these links in the chain up to the point that they become a Christian, where they follow Christ. Every one of those links in that chain is from somebody that God has given a divine appointment. Sometimes it might be they walked into a church and heard a sermon. Another time it might be a worship song they heard on the radio. Another time it might be a neighbor who invited them over for dinner. Another time it might be a Sunday school teacher who as a child shared the story of David and Goliath with them, right? There's all these things and all these places that God is working. And we have to be careful that we don't feel like we got to seal every deal like it's a business transaction by the end of the encounter. No, just be salt and light. Just love people. As we are discerning and listening to people, it's kind of like, here's the best illustration I can give you. It's kind of like a traffic light. Now, some of you are like, traffic light? What's that? I just go right on through. Don't do that. That's not good. Traffic lights are there for to give us direction, right? We know what they mean. When that red light is up, what are you supposed to do? You stop. If you keep going, somebody's going to get hurt or worse. If it's a yellow light, we know that that means that's caution, right? It's caution. It's slow down, be careful. You're going to have to make a decision whether to go or stop, but you need to like slow it down. And then the green light, we know what that means. That's a go. That's a go. In our scripture, in verse 32, let me just read that last bit to you. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. That's a red light. If people are mocking and laughing and they have no interest in hearing the gospel, don't waste your time and energy trying to win that argument. Just recognize, okay, that's not the right timing, and maybe I'm not the right person in this moment to share. Maybe that divine appointment is for somebody else, somewhere else down the road. If you keep going like it's a green light in that moment, you're going to do more hurt than help. So just take a moment, step back, be kind, be respectful. Say, oh, well, you know, thank you. Thanks for letting me ask you that question. So are you enjoying the weather? You know, then just be kind and talk about something else. But on those red lights, we see that some mocked, but then it says in the scripture, but said, we will hear from you again about this. Some people are going to have more questions. They're going to want to continue that. So maybe you're talking to the neighbor and the neighbor's like, oh, you go to church? That's interesting. Yeah, well, maybe I'd like to ask you some questions about that later. Okay, sure. We can do that. And then, of course, it says, so Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. There's going to be some green lights. I'm always amazed and shocked in a good way when I see the green lights. And I don't know why. I don't know why I'm always surprised, Jorge, because God said he's going to do it. And we prayed for it, and we listened for it, and we looked for it. But somehow I still get surprised when the green light comes. I remember one night I was a youth pastor at the time, and I was working with this youth group. And y'all, now, no offense to our teenagers in the room, but you know how teenagers, their attention span's pretty short, and they'll turn to their friend and be like, blah, 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 uh-huh, 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 blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. That had been going on all night, and I had had a bad day, and I didn't think anything good was going. And at the end I said, after the lesson, I just said, is there anybody here that would like to begin a relationship with God, that you would like to ask Christ into your life and you're ready to repent of your sins? And four kids did that. They were like, yeah, me, I'm ready. And I'm like, whoa, you know, and it was like, whoa, whoa, wait, you're saying God can use me when I don't feel good? God, you're saying you can use me when I don't feel it? Yes, because it's him doing the work, not me. When you don't feel it, God is still able to work through you and work in you. And so thank God for that. I can remember another time I was sharing the gospel with a group of students. This was on a small island on a trip that we were on, and it was about 40 kids in front of me. And I said, so guys, if anybody would like to commit your life to Christ, please talk to somebody. And I can still remember this kid. He was a ninth grader sitting on the front row. He was like, but Mr. Hester, I have a question. And I was like, okay. He's like, well, how do we do that? And I said, well, you just talk to somebody and somebody would be glad to share. And he's like, no, how do I do it? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, no, Mr. Hester, right now. How do I, you know, and I was like, oh, okay. And so we gathered this group of guys around him, and God began to use the other teenagers in that moment. I can remember one of the young men that I had been part of discipling spoke up and said, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying this right now. And he began to share with that student. That student accepted Christ in that night. It was a beautiful thing. And I asked one of the students, I said, can you go, please go get this other teacher to come join us? And he ran down this jetty way, and he slung open the door and slammed it wide open and screamed, come quick, come quick. Said the student's name, said, so-and-so's getting saved. It was this hilarious moment that I'll never forget. But God has divine appointments, and don't worry about being the last link in the chain. Worry about being faithful in the divine appointment that God has given you, because he has some for you. Some of you, this is going to be super uncomfortable for, but God's never called us as a people to be comfortable. For some of you, these divine appointments is going to mean that you got to do differently, that you can't stand there so closed that you got to open up a little bit and let people come near. Because if they can't get near you, what is that communicating to them about the God you say you believe in? It doesn't mean you have to be perfect. And I know that's what scares us, right? Because we get scared like, oh, if they get close, they're going to see all my faults and all my failures and all my flaws. And if there's anything we've been preaching here, it's this. That's good. Because then they know that as messed up as they perceive their life to be, that you aren't some superstar Christian, that you're a child of God who's loved, who God has saved, and who God is working in, and there's been hope for you and there's hope for them. Amen? God has divine appointments for you, and I hope and pray that as you go through this next week, even through this day, that you'll open your heart and your mind to those divine appointments. I could tell you story after story after story of these moments. And there's one common denominator of them. And that common denominator is not me. The common denominator in every story, every divine appointment I've ever had, has been the Holy Spirit opened that door and not me. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit opened that door and not me. I said, yes, I'm going. And God said, okay, here. Wasn't because I did anything. It was because he opened my heart and mind to see the divine appointments that are in front of us. In a few minutes, we'll be dismissing this service, and some of you will go to restaurants. Some of you will go to your home. Some of you will go other places. You don't know what that waitress or waiter at that restaurant has been through today. You don't know what kind of loss or suffering or pain they've been through. You don't know that they might be on the very end of their, holding to the very end of their rope and feeling like they're about to let go. But I'll tell you what you do know. You do know a God who loves, restores, and heals. So take that message of hope in that divine appointment. You don't have to preach a full sermon. Just love that person. Jorge and I went to a training a few weeks ago on discipleship, and one of the questions that was given to me and in one of the sessions I was in was, as the Holy Spirit leads you, maybe ask people this question. If God could do anything for you today, what would you want him to do? And as people, if they feel comfortable sharing that, then you pray for them. And you say, you know, I can't fix the problem, but I believe God can. Let me pray for you, and let's just see what God will do, and let me be a blessing to you. So open your hearts, my friends, open your hands, open our community with one another, that this is not a solo thing, that it's as a community, as the church, that we go forth. And let's see what God will do, and you might just be shocked at how many green lights you get to go right through. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for divine appointments. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that I've seen open in my own life. Lord, thank you for the ones that are coming from this day forward that have been there maybe, but we just had to open our eyes to see them. Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes? Open our eyes to our family members that we need to share with. Open our eyes to the strangers that we don't know yet, that you are placing in our path, Lord. Provoke us, Father. Provoke our spirit to love. Provoke us, God, away from making it all about us, and help us to see others. Help us to see your great love and mercy for others, God. God, give us wisdom as we share to look for those red lights. And when we see them, help us to have enough faith to step back and to say, God, I see that. You have your way. I'll continue to pray and to love. Lord, when we see those yellow lights of caution, help us to, even in that moment, pray even harder and to ask you, God, to give us discernment, to help us discern what to do next. And Lord, when we see those green lights, don't let us run away. Lord, help us to change our schedule. Help us to change our moment. Help us to be present in that moment, to share your good news and your hope. Father, thank you that you're going to continue to use Living Hope, that you're going to continue to use this body of believers. And help us, Lord, to know we are not going alone, that we are going together. So help us, Lord, as we do that. And we pray it all in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.